Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Do you know what these five men have in common? They look all decorated, the soldiers, right? They are all pretenders. I don't know if any of them actually served in the military or not, but they all are pretending to be someone they are not. For a good example, this guy. He is in Marine Corps uniform with a sergeant major uniform with a rank. He has U.S. Navy SEAL trident. You cannot be in the Marine Corps and be a Navy SEAL. You have to leave the Marine Corps, join the Navy SEAL. Period. And they all are fakers. They are pretenders. And you might have heard words called, it's known as a stolen valor. It is against federal law to pretend to be soldier, airman, sailor, and Marines for financial gain. A lot of people, these kinds of people, walk into the shopping mall or restaurant in uniform, thinking that somebody will buy them a meal or buy them, give them discount. When they do that, it's a crime. It is one thing for this type of scam to happen in the world, but it's a very disheartening thing to see the many Christians trying to be someone they are not. They are known as hypocrites. Often unbelievers would claim, I won't go to church because there are too many what? Hypocrites in the church. Hypocrisy is hideous. What cancer is to the body, hypocrisy is to the church. It is a killing agent. Unfortunately, hypocrisy is also seductive and addictive. Even though Jesus reserved his most severe word of condemnation for the hypocrites, we still seem to prefer this pretentious and pious lifestyle to the truth and authenticity. I guess it fanned the ego, it fanned the pride. Jesus is systematically going over the things that Pharisees cherish and are proud of: giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. And you might say, what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong. But the way they do. Why they do. And the Pharisees, when they do these three things, they don't do it to bring the glory to God the Father in heaven, rather bring glory to themselves. This is a very relevant topic. All of us should take heed into our heart. You follow me? All right, let's stop and pray. Father, we are good at showing off. We are good at being proud. We are good at pretending to be something that we are not, or someone that we... Forgive us for our sins. Cleanse us. Let us not be our pretenders. Rather, genuine, honest, sincere followers. Let us take heed of what you teach, put in our heart, and we may honor your holy name by doing what is right. Father, praying for the President Obama. Again, he ignores what you tell human to do, demonic things. Speak to him. Rattle his heart, rattle his soul, rattle his spirit, whatever it takes for him to break down and receive your truth. Praying for our troops who are in harm and our law enforcement personnel. More officers been shot at. More wounded. We're asking you to protect them. And also praying for the firemen. If they don't know you, they may come to you. If they have fallen away from you, they may come back to you. Pray this in Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 6 in the book of Matthew, please. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Note that, please. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet. Note that word as well, sound the trumpet. Before you, as hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. During the time of Jesus, the original offering box was located in the secret chamber of the temple. And the wealthy people will go into that place and put their offering in that offering box, much like our agape box. Then, by the way, that the offering box was known as a trumpet. Why? Nobody knows. Somebody called a trumpet, and from then on, that offering box is known as a trumpet. Then priests will collect their money and give it to the poor. The poor will go into the temple in a certain area, and the priests will distribute the fund that came from the rich people. It was done anonymously. It was done quietly. It was done secretly. Proper way. However, the Pharisees saw this a great opportunity. Photo op. Wonderful. Since it is known as a trumpet, why don't I make that portable trumpet? So they made a little trumpet. And they went to the street corner. Instead of one street, why not have a two side, right? At the street corner, they blew the trumpet. And the people said, what is this? And they start to wave their money. Say, come and get it. Here's the God's help for you. Through me, of course. They start to hand out the money. Of course, the people who don't have money, they are in need. They said, oh, thank you, Pharisee. Thank you, Pharisee. They got the reward on earth. They got the glory. Who's getting glory? God or Pharisees? Pharisees. The first century Jews, helping the poor was equal to righteousness. It reflected God's own righteousness, and which often expressed in his mercy. This pure act of righteousness became adulterated with the showmanship of Pharisees. I ask you all to note that word. They have their reward. The verb have is apako. And in Greek, it should be translated as received in full. And it was written on the receipt. In other words, that Jesus is telling his disciples and the people around him, as well as all of us, that the only reward the hypocrite will receive is the glory from man on earth, and nothing from God in heaven. Not good, is it? I'd rather have reward from heaven, from God, than from man. When you give things to the people who need or the less than us, we must do it quietly, discreetly. Are you with me? God does not value what we do, why we do. It is about the motive in our heart, which only God can see clearly. We might say, well, it is all for God, but it's all for God. Pat me on the back. In our church, we have a agape box over there. I believe that I learned it from my pastor, Robert Furrow, from Calvary Chusan, who learned from his pastor, Skip Isaac in Albuquerque. God laid you a desire in your heart to support the church. And through your tithe and offering, you put the money in there. We don't have a counter system there with a picture taken. When you put the money in, tick-a-ching, and then put the money, how much you put it in, and taking a picture, and put it on the wall. We don't do that. It's between you and God. Am I saying that passing the Kentucky Fried Chicken box or the offering plate is wrong? No. If they choose to do it with the right heart, I don't have a problem. I said this before. I will say it again and again. I strongly believe that where God guides, God provides. And it is His church, not mine. That's why we choose not to have a building fund thermometer. In my opinion, that's a psychological manipulation. Well, we have this much to go. Come on, give us money. No, we don't. I said it before. I'll say it again. I have no idea who's giving how much to our church. Some people tried to let me know in the past, literally. One man insisted I should know congregation who's giving how much so that I would be thankful to that person. He called me on the phone, chastised me doing that. So I said, no, it should be between God and you. And he insisted, so I told him, you know, I'll give you money back. We'll have our treasurer to write your check back to you. We don't want your money. He didn't like my answer, so he left. So you don't need to look around looking for that person here. Your tithe, your offering, your extra money to the benevolence fund, as I mentioned, that's between you and God. It's up to you to follow what the Lord lays in your heart. Why should the pastor of the church know about it? Unless the giver has an ulterior motive. One time, a friend of mine, he's a pastor of the Calvary Chapel, Oral Valley. He's a Craig Roder. My mind went blank. One guy was really, really wealthy, and he's been hanging around with Craig for a while in that church. And he said, see this Harley Davidson Fat Boy Low? I said, yeah, it's a limited edition. Wow. I'll give it to you. Really? Craig liked the motorcycle. And he said, yeah, give me the elder position. And Craig looked at him and said, keep your bike. People do funny things. Go down to the verse 5, please. Oh, go back. Helping the poor is a part of God's heart. It is one of the lesser reason that the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Not only that they were raunchy people, morally immoral people, they didn't care for their poor, so according to Ezekiel 16:49. But it becomes wrong for any of us to use that opportunity to make ourselves look good. If there is anyone who should look good in helping the poor, it is God. You know why? Because the money in your wallet, the money in your bank account, all belong to God. So if we want to help someone and giving our money to this church or some worthy organization, do it quietly. Then Father in heaven will reward us for our obedience. You with me? Quietly. That's not the only thing people try to let me know. Sometimes never seen before, walk in and say, I have this degree. What do you have? Say, nothing. I don't even went to the grammar school. They looked at me like, huh? Verse 5. When you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corner of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place, your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use a vain repetition. Would you underline, circle, highlight, mark it, all of that? Do not use a vain repetition as the what? Heathens do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. these hypocrites pray not to be heard by God, but to be seen by man. This still is a common fault in public prayer today. When the people pray, they pray to impress or to teach others, instead of genuinely pouring their heart before God. You don't need to use old English style language or use some hard to pronounce theological words to impress other people and to impress God. They are not impressing God, really. They are trying to impress other people. And showing off your Christian vocabulary. This showy prayer is an what? Insult to God. When our mouth words toward God, but really trying to impress others, we then use God merely as a tool to impress others. Just speak to the Lord as you do to your friend, with honesty and sincerity. Can you say it with me? With honesty and sincerity. One more time. With honesty and sincerity. Nothing fancy. Thank God for what He's doing in your life and just speak to Him. Many centuries ago, the Buddhist monk were told to pray in repetition by their superior monks. You have to repeat it over and over, same thing over and over and over until you get the result. And one smart aleck monk decided, okay, I will repeat my prayer, but I will do it in a more mechanical way. So he wrote down his prayer request on a piece of paper, many of them, and put it on the wind chime. As he started to spin, making noise, and he somehow convinced the people, the fellow monks, my prayer has been repeated by the wind. Guess what? It became popular because the other monks started doing the same thing. All of a sudden, there are thousands of them, prayer wheels, known as prayer wheels, around the temple. And people come along and buy the prayer wheel, to write down their prayer request, and stick it on their wind and in around the corner of their homes. And somehow they thought it would work better. And one of the Spaniard monks came to that region and saw this prayer wheel. And he thought, what a great idea. So he took that thing to home. And he made it into the more smaller, compact, portable version, known as, when the people do that thingy, they said, well, each one has a meaning. As I spin that thing around, his prayer has been spoken to God. Really? What did Jesus say? Do not pray in vain. Repeating same prayer without thoughts is in vain, according. If you're praying to someone other than God to hear your prayer, you completely miss the point of prayer. Again, as I said before, many, many times, our prayer changes absolutely nothing. Say it with me, our prayer changes absolutely nothing. I know it is a popular thing and a really soothing thing to say prayer changes. Really? Do we have a power on our own? Do we have a power to change the situation? Then if we do, why we pray even bother to pray, right? If our mere uttered few words and phrase has a power to change things, then prayer itself should be God, right? Instead of thought. But the Lord our God, who created the entire universe from nothing, certainly has the power and willingness. If we ask for, what we ask for is according to His will. Just in case some of you think that the repetitive prayer like a Pharisee's is no longer existing in Christian community, think again. The last decade or so, contemporary prayer became popular within the circle of so-called Bible teachers. Some Bible teachers. One of them happened to be named Beth Moore. I know some of you ladies love her books. This is what she said. By the way, I was looking for this particular YouTube video has been taken down. Wonder why? She said this. A true lover of God once spoke about practicing God's presence. To me, that's such a part of a contemporary prayer that we are able to observe the reality that as we commune with God through the prayer that He is with us, that His Spirit, for those of us who are in Christ, fills us, that we are drawn near to Him, that our soul find rest in Him. I have no idea. It sounds good, whatever it is, right? Do you know what the true definition of the reality of contemporary prayer is? Contemporary prayer is a dangerous practice that has creeping into the Christian church via Roman Catholicism. It is a form of Eastern mysticism that has been packaged in Christian terminology. In brief, it is a way of trying to commune with God by emptying one's mind and focusing on a word or phrase and practicing the presence of a divine through inner silent. You just saying some word, same word, without thinking. While you're doing that, when you repeat the same thing over and over and over, guess what? Your mind goes numb. Your mind becomes literally empty. And when your mind is empty, guess what happened? You're giving opportunity for Satan to do something stupid, and you have no idea, you have no defense. That's why the Word of God says, take a captive of every thought and make a presence in the defense of Him. I just misquoted it, didn't I? Butchered that thing. When obedience to Christ Jesus, there you go. That contemporary prayer is hogwash. That's exactly what Jesus tells us not to do. Our God is not interested in our chanting or humming with an empty mind. Prayer is speaking to God the Father in heaven in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit leads in our heart. Finish out your prayer and get up and go and work and do something for the Lord. Don't just sit there like a whining baby and making noise. Let me say this one more time. The doctrine of a contemporary prayer is a heresy. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? Do you want me to repeat it one more time? No, you got that? Okay, good. From verse 9 through 15, Jesus teaches us how to pray. We're going to do that next week. So we're going to skip this portion. Go down to verse 16, please. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like a hypocrite. And with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Our Lord Jesus changed the subject now from giving and praying to fasting. But the thread its way through the passage remained the same. Personal devotion to God should be expressed privately, not in public way, not showy way. The definition of fast, in case you don't know, the definition of fast is to practice abstinence as a religious exercise from food voluntarily for a time, for mortification of the body and or appetite, or as a token of grief or humiliation. You see, the fasting can be practiced for a multitude of reasons and several different ways to do it. From complete fasting without any water or food, or limited time for the limited time period, or eating some light food. In other words, if you are eating 16-ounce ribeye, followed by the chocolate volcano cake as a dessert, that is not considered a fasting. That's a normal food, right? Generally, it is practiced to deepen person's devotion to God. Of itself, fasting is no guarantee that God will bless, because fasting must be accompanied by the sincere humility and brokenness before the Lord. If fasting is only a formal religious ritual, all you have, all you accomplish is empty stomach with pride. To tell other people, oh yeah, I fast how many days? Why you tell me? So the reason the Pharisees were using is anything but honorable. It involves a showy display to impress their audience. And it was not uncommon for them to keep their hair messy and their clothes unkempt. And they even put the white flour on their faces like they are pale from lengthy days of fasting. Talk about actors. These hypocrites were not worshiping God, rather exalting their own false spirituality. Let me put this in our terms. If you fast because you felt that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do so, by all means, if your health allows you to do that, do it, if the Holy Spirit tells you. Set your time, fasting time, you know, whether it's one meal or two or three meals or a day, whatever the time. However, I do not recommend you do the fast for a 40-day, 40-night fasting period thing. Either you will break the fasting or we're going to do a funeral for you. While you're on fasting, when the meal time comes, leave where you've been, go to the isolated, solitary place alone with the Bible, and spend time in prayer. Just honest prayer to your Father in heaven as the Holy Spirit leads. You read a portion of the Bible, scriptures, and pray. That's a good way to do a fasting. And when you're done, get up, go back to do whatever you've been doing. Don't walk around and say, I'm so hungry. And people will ask, why? Oh, I've been fasting. Give me a break. Don't tell anyone what you're doing. Again, it's between you. By the way, don't be impressed with yourself because you are a child of God or the follower of Jesus Christ. Because the Lord tends to recruit his followers from the bottom of the pit rather than the pedestal. Most of us are the reject of the I'm for one. He had mercy on me. He chose. So don't be impressed with yourself and don't try to impress others with your spirituality. Three applications. Number one, your Christian belief should not be showy, rather sincere. If we are not serious about it, we should be out of it. It will do more harm than good by playing games with God. You cannot play games with God because he knows what you're doing, what you're thinking. Why are you doing it? Second application. Pretending our high spirituality might impress others, but not God. He sees all, and there's nothing hidden outside. God is not impressed by what we do, but why we do, the motive. Third application. Our devotion to the Lord is cultivated in seclusion, not on stage, whether it is giving, praying, or fasting. We give, pray, and fast in obedience to the Lord. There's nothing to boast about. If there is anything to boast about, it is the Lord, the one who died for our sins and rose again from the dead and forgive our sins. Amen?